Gila just blessed the beat.
Everybody, this is Shauna the Songbird, and
this is Shari. So damn extra, bro.
You know, me and Shari have been friends for so long, and I am shocked that he laughs at me because I'm just like, I've been extra since you met me.
I mean. Yeah, no, I didn't pay attention to you, so I didn't, like, you just appeared out of nowhere, like, and then you just started, I couldn't get rid of you, and then,
damn,
and now we're here,
damn,
now we're here,
I feel the, living, I feel breathing. The love, and thank you so much, thank you guys for listening to us, this is, Why Do Songbirds Sings, and yeah, we're about to just kick it off. The pilot. I'm quite interested to see how this is going to go. What about you?
Me? Yes, I'm very... Let's see what happens. We're going to see what happens. I'm going to try to be as respectful as I can possibly be.
Oh, yes, we love respect, honey. We love respect. So what are some updates with you? What's been going on with her life? What's going on?
I just got back from a trip from Puerto Rico. It was very relaxing. Mm. I enjoyed it. I went on this hike, and then we did rappelling down the mountain and ziplining down. So we hiked up, and then we rappelled and ziplined down. And then after that, we had some chicken from the farm. That we was right on the farm. There's some chicken on the farm, some rice and beans, and some homemade moonshine that did not hit. It didn't hit, but it was a shocking. The taste was shocking, though. One was hot, and the other was sweet, and it had pulp and seeds in it. But it was all natural, but I didn't feel nothing from those two shots that we had. But it was a good time that day, and then I had a beach day. Mm-hmm. And it was hot.
Yeah, so I know somebody had that dark skin out, honey. Had the muscles out.
My clothes were on. But but there are several people who did not have clothes on, for real, for real. All the ass cheeks was out.
As they should. As they should.
Not everybody. Not everybody needs to have any stuff out.
Damn.
It was a good time. It was a good time. Then I came back to work, and I got more responsibility. I got a different position added to my already position, so now I'm in charge of a department, and it's just me in the department, and I also have to assist in other departments, so it's cool. That's some stuff that's happened to me, but I really enjoyed that trip. It wasn't long enough. It's never long enough.
But, ooh, honey, if only vacations were as long as we truly need them to be. Oh, child, let's see. For me, everyone knows that I'm in Chicago right now. I'm currently about to go back to St. Louis. And Chicago's cute. Chicago's fun. And I just gotta go.
You've been talking trash about Chicago the whole time you've been there. You said the people was ugly, and your job is...
Ooh, so, we're not going to talk about the job situation, for those of you that know my my career path, but I will say on air, the job has definitely left me with a excuse me, I think it's a margarita hit my throat finally. The job has left me just no. But
wait, were you just holding it in your throat? That's powerful.
I'm gonna say something real inappropriate, but I'm gonna keep on moving.
Please don't.
But Chicago is very nice. It's pretty. It's filled with culture. I love my Black people. And I think the toxicity from my job has just caused me to just really just kind of like see, just be really negative. But actually when I go out with some of the local Chicago people, it's actually very beautiful and I actually really like it. And so,
That's good.
And so it's just like trying to separate the job versus the place for me. When your work is dealing with traveling, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to separate the two sometimes, unless, you know, it's a huge thing to like pull you out of. But yeah, so that is a thing. Also, I'm newly single. Well, not even newly single now. I think we're going on almost a month now of me being single.
You've been single longer than that, bro.
You know, you're not wrong. But I must say, dating as a Black trans woman is trash. Dating itself is trash and ghetto. But but dating as a Black trans woman is trash because you have to weed out who is fetishizing you. You have to weed out people who are simply, you know, just kind of like they want to be with you but not be seen with you, because in the closet they know like what you're working with, if you know what I'm saying. And even though the people in the world, when they see me, they're like, hey sis, hey mommy, hey hey queen, and they think nothing of it. But you know, they'll be like but you know, but with the genitals though, I'll be like, you know, it's either me or you don't. That's just point blank period. And so it's just like dealing with that as well. And, you know, I have aspirations for more things to come in my life. And so it's just weeding the people out. And and yeah, it's trash. You get more, like, I understand if someone's down to fuck, cool. But you get more of, they down to fuck, but there's no like, you know, let's go to a bar, let's go to a movie, let's go to the water, let's, you know, do that. Like, damn, can we like do something else besides like you creep over to my house at 12 o'clock at night? Like, no, that's not it. And so a lot of people have to be like, I already see what energy you giving, let's not do this. I can't. But I'll talk about more about my dating life as we carry on, because it's entertaining. At least to me it is. But yeah, so that is a thing. And oh, I learned about heteroflexibility.
No.
No. So Shahari is,
what is that? Do I want to know?
Yes. So Shahari, he is a cishet male, and and
I'll just keep adding.
And like many of cishets, is not real deep in the vocabulary of the community.
No. Y'all have a whole dictionary.
I mean, the vocabulary and the vernacular of the community is vast, I must say.
It grows just like the English language does. Yes.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's a language of its own. I mean, we have to. I mean, to be honest, the use of these terms are only ways in which people are able to actually solidify this or that, or simply put a pinpoint of their expression to like pretty much people outside of the community. Because like to
solidify their existence, I guess.
To people outside of the community, that's the big thing about it. Because it's just like, you know, when you around people in the community, it's just like, what's up? What's up? What's up? How you doing? How you doing? You know, you with them, you with her, you with him, you with them. Cool. Bam. And it's just like, and that's it. And we carry on with our lives. Like, you know what I'm saying? And if you want to turn around and list the array of adjectives that describe you, then cool. But like, really, like, we really don't do that in the community. Like I'm currently talking to a trans masculine person now, and like, we don't do all that. We just turn around and be like, hey, what's up? What you like to do? Whatnot. But when you're outside of the community, you know, and they start asking questions, it's just like, well,
because we don't
it's just
know.
Like, well, this, that, and the other. And it, and you can look it up because Google is free. And once you look it up, you be like, oh, okay, cool.
We can look it up and still be confused.
And then you can ask for clarification if that's the case. If that's the case.
You say that now.
But heteroflexibility is someone that goes in and out of the heteronormative norms. And so pretty much people that be like, oh, I'm straight, but like periodically when I'm drunk, if it's a cis dude, periodically when he's drunk, he likes to suck dick. Or a cis girl be like, yeah, I'm straight, but you know, every now and then I like to get fucked by a stud. Like, that's
not straight, then.
Once again, that's heteroflexibility, sir. So
okay,
you know,
more confusion to me. I'll have to embrace it.
It's like pretty much like you're gay sometimes, like, to sum it up in like the nutshell. And it's interesting because like some cis men would tell me I was asking like, what is your orientation, and they was like, heteroflexible. I was like, what? What the hell is heteroflexible? Let me educate myself, because it's a lot of things that I don't know. So, once again, Google is free. And I went on the Google, and I was like, okay, cool. I get a vibe of, you know, where your mind may be at. Alright.
I'm not getting on Google, but that's fine. Y'all live your life.
Damn. Like, you could at least, like, attempt to say, you know.
No.
Hello.
I don't need it in my spirit.
You could at least say, hello, Google. Hello, Siri. Hey, no. Alexa.
I don't need it in my spirit. I don't need it. I'm good.
Oh, child. I can't deal with you. But yeah. So, that has been the big thing with me thus far. In the worlds, and yeah, just me just being comfortable in my body and in my skin, you know. So all right,
that's good.
So let's go to our next segment, known as Reflections, where I simply give my former self a little advice, and a little love. And yeah, so here we are with Reflections. Dear beloved, you are currently an outgoing, outspoken, mannerable, and active child, as told by your mother. You will grow up to be the same. You always set a goal and work so hard to achieve whatever you have in mind. You attempt You adapt to the idea of living life without regrets, but I urge you to listen more to the inner voice inside, because the feelings you have about yourself and the people are true. Oftentimes we hold back and question if we should react to our inner thoughts, and sometimes it causes us to feel smaller, inadequate, or more susceptible to the handling of others. You have this natural light that is infectious and helps others be who they are. So you deserve to have that when I know you didn't fully have that support when you wanted. Through Christ, you can continue to grow and become the person in your dreams. Sincerely, Shana the Songbird. Child.
Right, that was deep. I felt like a new person came, because I don't know who that was that was talking, but
Hey, you know, had to get in my my reflections.
Okay, that was an older version of you.
Not an older version. Get out. I can't live this.
Yeah, but that was good. That was deep. That was nice to give love to yourself in the past.
You know, because it's things were not always sunshine and rainbows. You know, so we just had to do our thing. So speaking of sunshine and rainbows, can you go ahead and give us some moments of light?
Moments of light. Okay, so recently I've had a job change. I used to work at a grocery store, and now I work at a more professional office. But even though I've elevated, I make less. So in my seeking God daily, I ran across something, and I finally realized what type of things that need to be prayed for. So going into like scripture to help guests get us into this, it's like Matthew 6:30-33. Mm-hmm. We're gonna read that. We got, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So in that, I kind of realized that I don't need to worry about making less. That I am still successful, and I will still be taken care of. And ultimately, with this new job, I have been taken care of, and I still make more than I need. I still have a little extra left over. So I guess the purpose I was trying to put across was that we may pray for actions to bring glory to our Father, and to not worry about physical needs. Going into scripture on that is also back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 through 15. Read that. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So with that scripture, that's basically the Lord's Prayer. That's how you should come to God. So it's like, don't worry about clothes or food or shelter. I will give you that. Just focus on me and my will for you, and I'll do everything else. So that's just something that came to me that I just thought that should be shared. So to help me out, I don't need to worry about money, that I will be taken care of, and I will continue to grow and elevate through life as I continue to seek him. And I also ran across, because I, on YouTube, I watched Jolene Whitaker. Mm-hmm. She's a prophet. So here's an inspirational quote from her. Well, it's not a quote, it's a prophecy that I ran across on Twitter. And just listen to this. I heard the Lord say, "Rest in me. Cast all your cares upon me right now and rest. For I am working on strategies and solutions. I'm already making your crooked paths straight. Tonight you rest and praise me while I work on your behalf." So that's the prophecy from Jolene Whitaker. So just receive that and believe that, and just know that you are loved and you'll be taken care of. And yeah, that's my little words of light for this week. So just go and pray the Lord's Prayer and focus on him, and don't worry about your circumstances, because just focus on him and it'll all get better.
Oh, and you know, you are so right. And and for us, you know, it gets really easy for us as people in general to get so caught up in, you know, oh my goodness, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to do that, how am I going to make this, when, you know, when the main thing is, you know, if you take a minute to just breathe, if you just take a minute to relax and just look at yourself in the mirror, or you just turn around and sit down for a moment, you can feel that sense of, it's gonna be okay, it's gonna work itself out, because like you read, like he said it, and that's it.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm taken care of. And I just went on the trip. That was an expensive trip. That was no cheap trip. It really wasn't. I saw a dinner bill that I had never seen so high. It's four digits. I had never seen a bill that high for some food.
Gotcha.
But we paid it.
I've only done triple digit bills, and that's what I would like to say.
Must be nice. Must be nice, because that bill, I did a good hoo hoo hoo.
Not a good hoo hoo hoo.
I was shocked, bro. I was shook.
Oh shoot! Blessed Lord. Well, I'm so happy. Thank you for those moments of light. And so, speaking of moments of light, I would like to shout out a wonderful Black business from one of our, excuse me, the margarita is definitely in the throat.
Are you not swallowing?
You know, I'm a girl of many talents, just say that. Anyways, one of our wonderful sorority sisters has a business, and her name is India Davis. And her business is called Belinda. And their mission is designed for you, by you. Belinda by India specializes in unique natural products for all hair and skin types. Our skin products are inspired by real-life customers that have had concerns about their skin. Our focus is to produce the best products for your hair and skin to encourage and uplift your overall confidence. Belinda by India LLC was founded in February of 2015 by India Davis with love and full attention to natural products. For many years, India had a severe case of dry, rough, and cracked skin, which left her confidence a bit shaky. So she decided to blend her own mixtures of oils, butters, and essential oils to help with her skin condition. Day by day, her skin began to clear and her confidence bounced back. She started sharing her handcrafted products with her family and friends, and now she wants to share her creations with the world. And so that is our wonderful sorority sister, India Davis. I have used her soaps before.
That's cool.
And they are amazing. They have your skin feeling luscious. I must say, if you shop at Lush or be buying like stuff from like, I don't know, some of this cheap stuff from like the flea market and whatnot, like this, like her products are good quality. And if you go onto her social medias, which will also be in the description box, but her Instagram is Belinda _, and Belinda is spelled BLENDIA _. And Facebook is Belinda by India. TikTok is the Belinda _, and the website at www.belindabyindia.com. And so you guys go check it out. I'm telling you, the products are amazing. She has she has products using snake skin, using wine, and honey, all you need is some water, that soap, and some wine, and you have a good time. Can I get an amen? So yeah, go check her out. Oh my goodness. So Shahari, what has been new for you in the music world?
In the music, I've been listening to a whole bunch of stuff. You know, I listen to gospel, rap, classical. What's that thing called? That beat that just supposed to relax you.
Oh, the lofi beats or the heefy beats? Yeah.
Yeah, lofi beats. Avatar lo-fi, you know. But what really got me recently was his name's Breathe by Russ. It just has a nice vibe to it, and I just like the way it flowed. So just take a listen to that and see how it makes you feel.
All I ever try to do is help you understand and grow. Like the way for truth that if not for me simply wouldn't show. Unless you get somebody else who's on my level, but you know that just knowing on my level, you gon' realize if you don't. I wish you would own up to your flaws and just say that you're wrong when you're wrong. Instead of acting like you're right, then it turns into a fight. Now you're storming out my house in the middle of the night. I'm trying to be me.
That it had me feeling a little
Thanks.
I don't know, I think it's just the margarita in me, but alright.
the second
we're gonna move on before I say too much.
Change by her from the Netflix series. It's from the Netflix series We the People, but it's called Change, and I just like the beat drop, and she's just giving soul and reasoning and meaning and just flowing. So just take a listen to that and see if you're not educated just a little bit.
So I know my rights. Education's gonna change the cycle. Volunteer, I can help a life. Communities, planting trees, recycle. If I'm just one person, will my voice even stand out? Can I make a difference if I don't even know how to change?
Like, like, one thing from her, like, I've noticed, she's been giving a lot of Black anthems. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not, so, I love a good anthem. You know, we need them. They, you know, increase morale amongst the troops. But, like, her, like, I need her to get back to some, to some stuff, and I'm so happy that her latest album just dropped and it was not full of anthems.
She's been hurting for her people.
You know, honey, I'm always hurting for my people. Sometimes I'm hurt by my people, but sometimes I need not to have an anthem.
Well, then listen to somebody else. like
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong, but definitely, yes. I love it.
Okay, what were you listening to?
Oh, me. Okay, so for me, I am a little I'm a little basic. I don't really listen to much new music. For me personally, I have been jamming to the new Jam and Lewis song, Somewhat Love, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, featuring Mariah Carey. And yeah, it's one, I love Mariah Carey.
I listened to that. It got me in my, it had much emotion and feelings and sadness.
There was and a lot you know, of that and in that, there, which is fine. That is what made me listen to it the most. For me personally, to be frank, my ex had contacted me after not talking to me for some weeks, and I was just like, I'm like, how dare you like talk to me like you haven't like been gone for so long. So it was just like, okay. And I was already jamming to it because I love Mariah Carey. She's my girl. As the audience will probably hear from the nuances in the audios. Yes. But that there are in many things, random high notes are it. But the lyrics and just how she's singing it and the fluctuation in registers and her famous like vocal breathy break and cry that she has in her mixed belt. It's just overall for me what emotes more into the emotion of fuck, like don't break my heart again, like, and if you didn't break my heart, like someone before you broke my heart, so don't you break my heart. And overall, fuck people in general. So that's how I was feeling when I was listening to it. So that's just my own little personal note. But I guess I can go ahead and slide a little sample of that on here so you guys can listen to it.
Yes, do that. So they can have a nice,
you know,
breeze of emotions and get their feelings out.
Breaking my heart, breaking my heart, breaking my heart.
my current song jamming selection, because that's definitely been my rock song for a while, for a few weeks now since it dropped. It's number one on my most repeated Spotify. Don't do that. It's that song, and then there's some other songs, but like they're older, and like I'll save them for another time.
It's good to hear. I enjoyed it.
I'm not gonna play with you. Not on air. I'm not gonna play with you. But or I might. It depends on my mood. I don't know. The margarita's not in my throat anymore. But
finally.
So today.
Don't tell me you don't know how to damn swallow.
Right. So for our discussion today, one thing that has been troubling me these past few months and whatnot, so trans people have been getting more attention lately and a little bit more recognition, and with that comes some pushback. Because I feel like with a lot of society, they're like, oh, the gays have, you know, their rights, and the gays can do this and the gays can do that. And it's just like, for us, we're like, yes, the gays, but we are not all a part of the gays. But then also it depends on how the person is viewing the trans community, which is oftentimes as in the gays, but in actuality we're not getting the same treatment. And so with that, they are coming forth and attacking our youth and putting down stipulations on trans athletes. They're putting down the stipulations on trans youth receiving hormone therapy. And so what do you think about this topic, Shahari? Because, you know, as a cis het, I wonder, what do some of you guys think? Because, I mean, outside of like the older white Republicans, like what do some of you guys think when it comes to like,
okay, you said think about what's happening with the trans youth exactly.
Them putting stipulations on trans athletes and them as far as saying that they have to compete with their biological sex. That's the biggest thing with them. And then some states have some outrageous things that they're trying to pass, which to me are highly inappropriate, which I will go deeper after getting your opinion. And the second is stipulation on hormone therapy when it comes to children, trans children.
Okay, as far as them having to compete with their actual sex, so I
their
guess
biological
they haven't
sex.
Had any surgery.
Yeah, you said actual sex, so I'm just stepping and saying biological because.
Oh right, thank you. I'm gonna take a minute for me to get used to that.
Hey, we're here for growth and for our conversation.
Yeah. you said biological sex. That would be hard because they just haven't gone
through
any surgery.
So
they're still biologically man and woman and man, but they have hormones.
For For some teens, yes, because the thing about trans people and even trans children, not all of them go through hormones, because they might not want to do that, because it may not fit with their outward expression of who they are on the inside. And also just to note that with the surgery aspect, actually there are stipulations that state that you cannot have any type of gender reassignment surgery unless you are 18 years old in the United States. So as far as people like, you know, questioning like whether like, well, you know, what do they have, this and the other, you know, just to say, just to put out there, they can't have these surgeries unless they're 18. The only time they can have a surgery is if they are a trans masculine person, meaning they going from female to male, and they are getting the fat, the breast fat, surgically removed, and they can do that under 18. But the stipulation with that is they have to see a psychologist of some sort and have to be cleared of any type of like possible mental issues before having that. Outside of that, there is no kind of surgeries that a trans child can have legally in the United States.
Okay, that was a lot to take in. Let's see. As far as if they haven't done any hormonal stuff and they are biologically still have the same hormones that they were born with, then I can see why they would require them to be in the sport that their biological sex is. Because if a woman's trying to play with men, I can see that woman being at a great disadvantage, unless she's really built, you know. And with the man playing with the woman, or a boy playing with the girls, I can see that being a huge advantage for whatever team that boy's playing with. So I could see why they would require that. And the other, what was the other thing?
Oh, and the other thing I was saying, outside of the trans youth, I mean trans athletes, is that they're putting stipulations on, pretty much saying how physicians cannot provide hormone therapy to the trans youth.
And you don't think that's bad? Do you think that's a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing for them to say, you know, you're going to lose your license if you provide hormone therapies to trans youth, because the way the system is set...
it's not really regulated. They're just saying that you can lose your license if you do it.
Like, they're
There's no law saying you can't do it.
Yeah, they're coming up with laws to say that you cannot do it. That's the thing. They're coming... these are laws that they're coming up with and they are trying to pass.
I do think that they should at least wait until they're like adult age to start to do the actual changes that are required, so they can have like full time to assess what they're going into. You know, when you're a child, your brain's not fully developed and all that, so you should take a little more time to assess what is going to happen. So, I mean, if it'll happen, it'll happen. Just, it's fine with waiting until you're 18. I think that's a fine thing, but I don't think they should take away somebody's license because of that. Or unless the parent says, okay, yeah, you can do this, you know. That's just my opinion.
And I can see how you can have that opinion. One of the big things is the parent has to be in agreement with this, you know, unless the child is 18 and up, and then the child can make their own decisions. But But the parent has to be in agreement with this, one. And then two, my thing is with the hormone therapy, it's not permanent. And so, say for instance, if they were young and they just like, I really want to go through hormone therapy, in order to look the way I feel, then if later on they want to embrace another aspect of themselves, then they still have the free range to do such. Doing hormones is not like a in all thing. And I don't know, when people say stuff like that, it just makes me like wonder, like, do you guys think it's like, if it's like a in all thing, because it's a reversible thing. And that's why they can't have any type of surgeries until 18, because, you know, of course, like you said, by then, you know, especially if, you know, when you have certain feelings and certain ideas of yourself and you're constantly growing and shifting your thought process and constantly growing into a different person, you're going to shift your look and this, that, and the other. And so that's why you can't do anything until like you're 18 and, you know, you don't need your parents' consent. And, you know, essentially everything is still going to be on you. And so that's the big thing people had to realize. It's like, you know, oh my goodness, I don't know if you guys can hear that. I'm sorry. This is what happens when you live on the south side of Chicago. But when you're constantly, even you as a cis person, you're constantly shifting and growing as a person and constantly changing your looks and appearance and whatnot. And it's similar things for us with our looks and our identities and our sexualities. And it's just like, doing hormones is not in all be all. Now, when you do the surgeries, when people start cutting into you, I mean, yes, that is reversible, but, you know, that is when it's more of a serious matter of, this is going to be more permanent than what you think. And that is something, if you truly know yourself and truly into yourself and you truly love yourself and have, and once again, also they make sure that you are being constantly psych eval before doing these things in order to have these surgeries and whatnot, because that's how the process is. And I know a lot of people are not aware of that process, but that's just my little spiel on that. You know, I definitely understand your opinion. But I just want to toss those bits of, information out there because, you know, it's easy to misconcept the trans process, because a lot of things is mental and it's our thinking and us manifesting physically what our inner thoughts and what our spirit is and have a tangible representation of that for the rest of the world. And some of us know early as children. I mean, to be honest, for me, I think all along I knew that I was going to be a trans woman. Of course, I didn't have that vocabulary, but just by
your vocabulary was like, I'm going to be a fairy. I think that's what it was. That's what you called yourself. You ran like a fairy. When you ran, you just hopped up like you was trying to fly.
You know, I did. It's like, who runs? I do run on my toes. So it does look like I am like hopping in the sense. But anyway,
bounding. I'm not. You thought you was a delicate flower. Trying to float in the wind, but you kept coming down.
And you know what? I am still a flower. Mm-hmm. I'm like Aretha Franklin said, I'm a rose because I have thorns. I'm a little rough. But despite my roughness, I am still beautiful. I am still soft, and I am still wanted. Whether it's from
same.
So yes. So even still, like I knew then, but there was not deep vocabulary for it. There was not acceptance for it, And nowadays we have more representation. We have more social media where you can like, well, we have social media because growing up in the 90s, like we didn't have internet like that. You know, you can go to school and get on a computer, but like, are you doing is looking at the encyclopedia? So anyways, but it was no representation, especially growing up in Alabama. It was no representation for me that I saw. And, you know, even though, you know, I felt this way and I know I exuded all the feminine energy when I was surrounded by the boys. But you know, if I knew what it was to be a trans woman and or to be trans, how people would say, then I probably would have started early. And I feel like, why stifle that? I mean, do I regret transitioning later in life? No, because I had wonderful experiences and people still treated me like the lady and the queen I am regardless. So it is what it is ultimately.
Yes, you were always halfway there. Yeah. You were always halfway there.
Exactly. So it's just like, you know,
mainly your lower half. Because literally, there's one time you just walked the corner, all you saw was your legs, and you walked around the corner, it's like, oh, that's Shannara's. It's like, oh, it was a trap.
Oh, Lord. I can't deal with you. But like you said, like, I've always exuded energy, and I say if the youth feel that energy and they have the vocabulary and they are stern and they are accepted, they're going to live in their truth young. So why stop them? You know, and there are organizations that have actually you threw me off because I'm over here trying not to laugh at your ass. They have...
Well, I mean, yeah, you can go through the process. I mean, you said you have the mental checkups. So if they pass all those mental checkups that needs to be passed, if that's a requirement of it, and they're at a younger age, then I guess you can start with the hormones, if that's what you so desire.
And many organizations, well, not many, I won't say that, but when I was researching, some organizations had it to where you are limited to be in so much testosterone range months prior to the competition. And in order to ensure that you are operating on a fair slate testosterone-wise, because testosterone is one hell of a drug. And so, and that's why they even, it's a cis woman athlete. Oh, I forgot her name. I might insert it later. But they came to her and was like, her body produced naturally more testosterone than most cis women. And they came to her and was like, you're going to have to do blockers in order to compete. Because she was winning and she was a black woman. And she's just like, why do I have to stifle myself for what God has given me? And so it's just like, you know, if you guys can do that, and, you know, and of course, you know, you make her do it, then, you know, saying you can turn around and allow these children to play and just make sure they're within range and allow them to play and not force them into a category in which they don't belong. You see what I'm saying?
So that's a case by case basis, basically.
Essentially, yeah, because, I mean, I guess you would have to look at, you know, if they are over such and, you know, and or if they're not on hormones, or even if they are now hormones, like I guess they would have to take blockers, I guess, in order to compete. But it's definitely a process. And I just wish that we took less emphasis on regulating people's bodies in general, one, and definitely less attention on these babies. Leave these children alone. Like, this is the time for them to learn themselves and to be free and to, you know, if they identify as transgender, then allow them to be in the categories that they would like to be in and the spaces they would like to be in. So when they get into the world, they're not trying to hide or shun, or they will have the confidence in order to survive, or the confidence, not necessarily to survive, but the confidence to push past the people who are looking down upon them. Because it's always going to be those looks and those stares regardless. And no one likes to be stared at.
No one likes to be stared at. You know, all day, every day for me.
Baby. You know back in the day when we used to go out, how both of us used to get stared at. And we both would just be like, this person staring at you. That person staring at you. Like, no one likes that. Like, leave the children be. But with that being said, I feel like there are other things to worry about. There's things like, you know, taking hold of the mental health issue that is in America, and we really need to focus on that. We need to focus on helping close the disparity rates between Black Americans and their white counterparts. We need to be able to look past our religions and look past our preferences or prejudices in order to see a broken system that, you know, that we are all not free. And we all are not having this sense of equality or equity amongst one another. That is, to me, our biggest issues as a country. Like, you look at statistics from 2020 where, like, more Black families and more Black children in public schools are more likely to be in poverty than their white counterparts. But yet you're over here trying to regulate the children's bodies and regulate the children's hormones. Make it make sense, Shahari. Make it make sense.
It don't make no sense. We have a lot of stuff to work out, so you got to focus on one thing at one time, but that's not the main issue of the day right now.
I thought you were going to say something. Oh, my bad. I thought you were going to say something. Okay.
That's all I got.
Well, all right. Well, I think that's all I want to, like, vent about as far as, like, our discussion today. But I'm happy that we have this wonderful interview with a dear high school friend of mine, Miss Kenya Wilcox. She is currently a social worker in Birmingham, Alabama. And we're going to talk about some pretty much just highlight social work and some of the stigmas behind it. And hopefully she can give us a little insight and maybe some little teaching moments for us as it relates to this topic that we have discussed today.
Everybody, Shauna Songbird. This is our segment where we talk to Black professionals. And hey, Shahari, how you doing?
I'm good, and you, Shauna?
I'm doing good. Just making it.
Literally.
Today, we have Miss Kenya here. She is a social worker. We go way back in the good old days. When
honey, isn't it crazy? I have on the Ramsey Choir shirt.
Oh, so it is a joy to have this conversation. We may or may not have another guest come in and join us. If not, Kenya, we love you no more and no less.
Okay.
Yes, feel the love. Feel the love.
I thought you were gonna love me a little bit more because I'm the only one.
But yes, so can you begin to tell us like your title, your credentials, and I guess if you want to share, like, you know, what kind of activities you like to do, like outside of work, and like a little fun fact about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am a medical social worker. I am stationed at UAB Medical West, and that is Birmingham, Alabama, on the Bessemer side. I mostly deal with a lot of adults. I really don't deal with any children, but my age range is mostly 18 to end of life, whatever age that may be. Also, my credentials is I am a licensed master social worker. So I pretty much can do anything under that realm. The only thing that I can't do is I can't like bill under myself. Okay. In order for me to do that, I will have to be clinical, which I am in the process of getting that taken care of. So I am doing supervision for my clinical license. So hopefully next year, 2022, I'll have my clinical license independent. So I do plan on opening up my own practice, counseling type firm, and be able to bill and do all that for our community, especially in that mental health realm, because it's so many of us that need mental health counseling. Yeah. And I'm trying to just kind of bulldoze that stigma that, you know, if something is wrong with you, you're crazy. No, you're not crazy. You have a mental issue that needs to be addressed by a professional. It's okay to pray, but it's okay for you to pray and have a therapist.
Amen.
Okay. So prayer and therapy works.
You said the word.
Yes, in my spare time, I don't too much do anything other than being a parent to a 1.5-year-old little boy. He is a grown man trapped in a toddler's body. Somebody come get him. But other than that, you know, I sing around the house and all that, and sing at church and sing to my baby and all that good stuff.
Love it. So pretty much nothing has changed about you.
No, I live a very introverted, boring life. And I think about the Lord. Ain't he good?
Ain't he good?
She says introverted, but I know that she is.
There's an extrovert somewhere in there, just deep inside.
Okay, she be ready, honey.
Back when the time comes, when she gets her social media up, she be out.
Back in the day, honey, she'll do the same thing. She'll be at the house with her family, at church. But once once we were out.
Yes, I'm very introverted with, you know, my circle. So if I don't really know you like that, I'm very like, don't touch me like that. But
yeah, even when she knows you, she say, don't touch me. But That is true.
Because sometimes I'm like, not today.
Was your whole reasoning and your passion to become a social worker, was that due to the whole stigma in the Black community about mental health and whatnot? Or what was like your like get into this field? Because from what I know is like you guys are underpaid and
very
minimum social workers out there in like ratio to like how many people are being, you know, used or needed for you.
Well, initially, I always wanted to help people anyway. So, like, ever since I was little, I always looked at, like, the special needs kids and try to figure out, you know, like, people that care for them. I always wonder, like, you know, what, you know, got them like that. So, but when you're coming from a family that and not just my family, just, you know, just a typical African-American household, when you think of a social worker or a case manager or anything like that, you automatically assume DHR, you're going to take people's kids away. So it's that stigma there, and the ultimate stigma is that you're not going to make a lot of money. So I was very steered away from that. And initially I was a computer science major and did pretty well up until like junior year. But I'm just like, this, I don't want to do this. So it's just like the more I did it, the more I hated it. So I'm like, I want to do what I always wanted to do. And I wanted to help people, but I didn't know what realm to really go to, what population initially. Until I got a chance to meet a teacher, and her name was Teresa, and she dealt with children that had autism and developmental delay. So I got an opportunity to intern there my senior year, and I didn't have to go to anyone's homes. I didn't have to take anybody's children away. They came to an office. And we actually did like assessments and did referrals and all of that. And I actually enjoyed that. So I was like, there's more to social work than DHR and taking people's kids away. So that allowed me to explore. And the more I explored, I realized, a probation officer is a social worker. Parole officer is a social worker. But they don't call it that, but that's what they are. So I was like, okay, let me get into this. And when I looked into medical social work, I really fell in love with it. And I had this teacher in grad school. His name was Dr. Crenshaw. And he was a neuroscience teacher. And I thought I was going to flunk that class or whatever, because like that title alone scared the heck out of me. I said, like, oh hell, I'm gonna fail. But he made it so interesting. You can tell that he absolutely loved what he did, and he loved teaching, and he knew how to break it down to us so good that it was just like, it was second nature to him. It was like I was just chilling out with my friends, like the way he taught. And I really wanted to get into the mind more and the mental health and knowing what, okay, if this neurotransmitter is low, how does it affect this person? And this is, I wanted to know more about this. So that's why I went into, I've got my master's in social work, but my concentration is in mental health. So from a mental aspect, yes, that's pretty much all that's what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to see what's going on with the mind. I always wanted to see if this person had this type of disorder. What does that look like? How is their mind affected if this isn't happening? What is their trigger? What made them snap? I want to know all of that.
Okay, is that like, can you like describe your process that you go through when you go into a case?
First and foremost, I don't see the patient. I don't like going in empty slated. I actually like to just kind of read the patient's history for myself, see, you know, if how many times they came into the emergency room, see if they like a frequent flyer, do they leave, you know, against medical advice all the time, see if they have any mental disorders, any substance abuse disorder, because sometimes mental health and substance abuse can, they can work together and they can be disguised as one another. So you have to be really, really careful. So I go in figuring out, okay, are they acting like this because they have a disorder? Or are they acting like this because they're high? Or are they going through this because they're going through withdrawal?
You try to get to know them before you
meet
them?
Yes.
Okay.
Before, you know, go in there and start throwing out different things.
Accusations.
You know, trying to be super social worker of the year, and it don't call for that. So you have to be able to really go in and kind of know the patient more than what you started from, and still remember that you are not the expert.
You come in humbly.
Yes, you are not the expert in the situation. The patient is. They know their life more than you do. So they are the expert. You are learning from them and from them only. So it is up to you to come in with an open mind and being a partner for them and build a rapport. Don't be like a necessary leader in the situation, because the patient already pretty much knows what they need. You just kind of helping them get there.
And I love the fact that I put you and social workers on this segment, because we talked about trans youth, because there's been a whole bunch of conversation around trans youth. And I feel like the things that you stated earlier as far as having an open mind and mm-hmm. truly like trying to understand a person or situation and stepping outside of yourself in order to see the bigger picture is what a lot of people are missing when it comes to that.
Yes.
And I had stated in the segment, I was like, you're trying to do this, but we still have so much more work to do.
Absolutely. And it's so crazy that, you know, we talk about the transgender community and the issues that we have with, you know, other people that may not agree with the transgender lifestyle or, you know, whatever the case may be, but it's so much prejudice within the own transgender community that it can be, it's very devastating, because I remember having two clients. This was back when I was doing therapy, and it was two transgender women, and I thought it was so crazy that one of them looked down on the other one. And I wanted, you know, I wanted to know why, what made her, you know, feel like, you know, she was better than this woman. And she said, well, you know, I've had things done. She's like, I've had the work done. I've got my hormones and all of that. But that one over there, that's not a woman. That's just a man dress. And I thought that was, like that blew my mind. I'm just like, but this is, you know, this is your sister. This is your sister in the community. This is, you know, this is who she identify as, and this is who you identify as. And you most likely have the same thing that she is going through. But you feel like you're better than her because you got, you know, you got to your womanhood first.
That quote unquote womanhood.
Mm-hmm. And what makes you think because you have your womanhood first, that makes you a woman? This woman over here may have been through so much, and she can fully identify as being more of a woman than you are. But yeah, you have all these things done. So instead of you trying to figure out, oh, hey, I got this, and this going on, I just thought it was really, really just like mind blowing. And just from seeing like episodes of Holes and how they treated Blanca because she didn't have her body fully done, and they were just calling, you know, her, you know, she was just, you know, boy and girl's clothing.
I would definitely say I know for like older queens, there are a lot of things that is toxic and shouldn't be. And I love how like the later generations are starting to be more accepting, more loving, because, you know, not everybody's process is the same. Not everybody's view of themselves is the same. Not everyone wants to have breasts and ass and high cheekbones. Everyone is not about that.
Because sometimes I want to take my eyes off. Honey, listen. Sometimes I want to take this off and just hang it up on a coat rack. But knowing me, I probably forget to put mine back on and go outside.
I can't.
But it's real. And people don't understand the trauma that comes with just life, and, you know, realizing that, hey, although I was born with these, you know, these certain parts, and, you know, my parents and the world sees me as, you know, a man, but mentally I don't feel that way. That's gotta be traumatic. And it's a lot of beautiful transgender people.
Like, it is a lot within the community. Because like with any community, it's always going to be that negative and that ill in there. Even if we look at the Black community, you know, we have lots of disjunction within our community as well. We try to use these conjunctions when it comes to our liberation. And it's just, you know, it's hard to be on one accord and or for others to see us as a unified piece if we ourselves are disjointed. But some are just like more exposed than others, I must say.
Yes,
I must
say. It's really time for us to just be unified, no matter what you identify as, what are your religious views. It's just really time for our race to just be unified, because we are just breaking apart more and more. And you see everyone else, you don't see this in, you know, the Asian community. You don't see this in, you know, the Spanish community. You don't see that, but you really do see it in our community, and it's sad.
We don't see it. But if you talk to those people, they see it. They see it, and it's apparent. But, that, mm-hmm. but that's But that's the thing. And I don't know, why is it that with the Black community, why is the fact that we see it and other people see it as well? Mm-hmm. I always question that. Like, how? Why is it that other people see our disjunction while theirs is covered and hidden?
Exactly, exactly. They can easily hide theirs, and you'll never see them talking about one another in a negative light, but it's always us. Oh, she's ugly. Oh, she's too dark. Oh, she's too light. Or she, you know, she's going outside with a bonnet on. But yes, somebody went on Shark Tank. Two Caucasian women went on Shark Tank with some damn bonnet and tried to sell it. But yet we're getting ridiculed for going outside with a bonnet on. But yet they can go out there and try to make millions off a bonnet. We've been rocking cornrows for years, but that's considered ghetto and low class. But yet you can get Kim Kardashian, they can wear the same thing as calling boxer braid. We get called monkey and donkey lifts, but yet they go to the cosmetic surgeon and get fillers and injections.
Well, darling, I feel like we covered so much. She gave us
so much tea. So much information.
So much good things.
And a little word in there to be more supportive amongst ourselves. So that was nice too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And just to tie everything up, like, that's all we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Need some look more inside instead of out.
Exactly. Come on.
Mm-hmm. We gotta love on each other.
Exactly. So once again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Kenya.
Thanks for having me.
And that will conclude our first episode of Why the Songbird Sings. I'm so happy to finally be able to release this. Thank you, Shahari, for being my co-host and helping me through this process. And I can't wait for many more episodes and many more opportunities to speak with Black professionals like yourself, so we can have these discussions and hopefully inspire somebody to become that social worker, or inspire somebody to, like, simply know that not all you do is take people's kids away. Exactly. And for people to know that it's good to look outside yourself and take in a whole situation and actually try to accept and try to love on somebody and try to understand more about somebody versus having your notions or have your quote unquote fixed mind set on somebody. These are the things that have the younger generations learn these things and know these things and live by these things so that everybody cool it. We ain't having all this bullshit. When we have grandchildren, everyone is living comfortably, and it is beautiful. That's what we're trying to work towards.
A beautiful. I know, that's right.
We'll see you next time. Thank you so much, Kenya.
Bye.
Bye.
Reflection. 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 Reflection.